Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
It is a poison chalice, that All Black, you know, coach. You don't win. You need 90% success rate, and you need to win the Rugby Championship every year, and you need to win the World Cup when that comes, and then that's okay. You get a thumbs up from the public.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
The tackles, the tries, the team. It's Dara's Green 15.
No, just as you finished your cash machine sentence, Yannick Sinner took the first set at the exact moment you finished it.
It's straightforward for Sinner. So it's Sinner, Djokovic.
And then Alcaraz, Zverev. Zverev got to the final of the Australian Open last year. He's never won a slam though.
Right.
He was 2 points away from it one time. That was it.
Long may that continue.
Yeah. Dara, what's going on?
Well, lads, how's it going?
Jesus, something else, isn't it? So, I went out to you there in the break.
Yeah.
Talked to you about it briefly. But there was, not a previous incident, of course, that was similar, but there was something, wasn't there? With Antonio.
Yeah, so he was pulled out of the match of the weekend against Clermont, La Rochelle. They suspected it was an intercostal tear, which is like a muscle strain in the ribs or upper back. But now it's developed that he had some sort of cardiac event yesterday and he was in hospital. So he's going to be retiring with an immediate effect, which is a really tragic end to an amazing career, really. He was a France stalwart over the years, obviously, and such a key figure in La Rochelle's European success over the years as well. Really, really tragic stuff. Just hope he's okay now. He's apparently in a more stable condition now, but it's awful news to get over.
Yeah,
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, he's only 35. Yeah,
yeah, and he had retired. I think it was last season, but kind of semi-retired, but came back to rugby, play for La Rochelle again, and was pretty much expected to play against Ireland next week. Very recently, but he obviously got pulled out of the French squad, and it was kind of unclear as to what the problem was. So we have a bit of a clearer picture now, but yeah,
all right,
tough.
Alrighty, all the best to him for sure.
Yeah.
Alright, where do you want to start this week?
We'll start with the team. We'll be the team of the week.
Yeah.
As usual. If you want to stick that graphic up there, we'll run through really quickly. Billy Bowen.
Oh, now you're all about Billy Bowen. Oh, look at this.
When have I never been
called into
Billy
the Ireland
Bowen
squad, and he's like, oh, Mr. Bowen, come on down, sir. We've got a table for you.
Genuinely had a good game against Leinster, I thought.
Is this his first entry?
Tis, yeah.
Ah, look at that.
He only has,
has
4 or 5 caps.
Front runner.
Relax.
How pointed is you're supposed to bring these names to us before we even hear them?
Tom Stewart.
Oh, look at this, Tom Stewart. Whoa, look at this.
Do you know the next guy, Oisin Heffernan?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
He's ex-Connacht.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Ryan.
Heard of him, yeah.
Quinn Roo. Sean Adogbo. Made his debut at the weekend, obviously against the Dragons. Nick Timoney, Sean Jansen, John Cooney, is that in brief?
Mm.
Tony Butler, Zach Kerr, Doncaster Knights, Charlie Tector, Harry West, Shane Jennings, and Kieran Frawley is the team there.
Dara, were you tempted to put Joey Carberry at scrum half?
I was. I really
What's
was.
What's happening here?
So Bordeaux have a bit of a scrum half crisis going on at the minute. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Luke Koo is their number one. He's out for Bordeaux, has been for a good few weeks now, out for the Six Nations as well, as we know. Their backup scrum half, Martin Pagliarello, also got injured there recently, so he's out of action. Yep. Got injured in the warm-up for the game at the weekend against Stade Rancay. So Arthur Retier is their third option, scrum half.
Mm-hmm.
He got injured in that match against Stade Francais at the weekend. So Joey Carberry, who before the game wasn't expected to cover 9 because Retier was obviously the replacement 9, had to switch to a kind of a cover 9 and 10 on the bench. And then lo and behold, he had to come on 45 minutes into the game to cover scrum half. Did a very good job at it. Now later in the game, he did switch to out half again. when Jellyber came off, but played a good few minutes at scrum half there. So it's kind of looking like he nearly has to play scrum half this weekend. They've got Montauban away, which is an easy game, really. Montauban aren't a great team this season, but it seems to be a position that you can really look at as a part of his arsenal now. So if you're Leinster and you're watching him week in, week out, presuming they do sign him, you're like, if needs be, if the time comes where a couple scrum halves go down again, you know, Joey, you could do a job there.
Mm.
So he's covered 9, 10, 12.
15.
I think he played 13 before as well, and obviously fullback as well. So it's a serious asset to have in your team, a player like him.
Yeah.
Didn't make the team this week, though, unfortunately. John Cooney for Breve was our scrum half, trying to assist for against Bezier this weekend, or last weekend. He's hasn't hit the ground running as he may have thought when he arrived there. It's funny, he's actually up against Fabien Galtier's son, who's the other scrum half for Breve at the minute.
That's tricky.
Yeah, there's a couple of funny names there. There's Courtney Laws. Baby. Courtney Laws plays there as well.
Does he?
But yeah, he had a good game at the weekend, so hopefully he kicks on a bit more, because he still has a lot of quality to offer. Anywhere else you want to go on the team there?
Well, I'm just wondering, is there a world in which we go 7-1 bench and it's just Joey Carberry in the World Cup?
Well, I was
in one of the big games.
if the link transfer had occurred, you know, would Joey Carberry bring this Irish squad if he had returned to Leinster?
Right now, years ago.
Versatile,
it's ridiculous, really.
But like, you know, you're laughing now. But like, what if we have a lot of those back rows who actually can play in the wing as well?
Oh, like Van der Fleer.
No, I'm thinking more like your Hearns and stuff.
Van der Fleer can do a job,
yeah.
Yeah, but like, well, if the big lads that you're kicking the ball to on purpose.
I don't know if you saw Sean O'Dogbo at the weekend, but that's pretty much half of his game is hanging out in the wings, and he's an absolute threat out there. He is awful to deal with for any winger or fullback that's to cover that space. He's about 6'4" as well. That's probably the least talked about thing about him, is because obviously brother Edwin is a monster in himself, but he's also very, very tall and obviously very powerful. So he's definitely an option for that kind of idea.
He's your blind side this week, Sean. Competitive debut against the Dragons last Friday night.
Yes.
Player of the match. The ceiling is high. We had heard about this, right? Because everyone's very excited about Edwin.
Yeah.
To the point that, like, Dogbo was just thought, but almost in the past tense for nearly bang on 2 years. Then Edwin came back. Now Sean follows. A potential dynasty here, the Dogbos.
We're already seeing it, I think. It's not even potential at this stage. As long as both stay fit, that's obviously been a massive hinder in Edwin's development so far, but he still managed to make an Ireland squad with only a few games back after a long time out. So there's a lot of potential there. And Sean, different type of player, obviously a back row, probably won't see him in the second row at any point, so won't see them locking up next to each other. But yeah, they're both serious players with serious power. And I think Quinny made the point recently that they just need to start lads like that now down in Munster. They just need to make use of what they have with their youth. You saw Gavin Coombs come off the bench the weekend, score 2 tries. He was excellent. So maybe that's also what players like he needs, is that bit of threat that, you know, Gleeson's coming through, you know, your place in this team isn't guaranteed, you need to earn your place back. So I think that's the way forward for Munster, to bring the youth in and then, you know, create a little bit of competition there.
Let's talk about your centres here, right? They both had big moments in that one game. Charlie Tector and Harry West, big tries each. Now the Tector try was the game changing moment, right? It followed RG Simon's try.
Yeah.
And I was in a mind of whether this is very creative play by Tector or just poor defence by Connacht. Perhaps it's a bit of both.
Bit of both, I would say. Yeah, a bit of both. It's interesting with Tector. I kind of...
What's his ceiling? Yeah, because a lot of the comments there, like, I'm not sure you read into comments, like what people say is bullshit usually, but like, I wonder how far he can go.
Yeah, it's... See, he's one of these players, right? So he's a 10 inherently when he's smiling.
Just what people say is bullshit usually should be the theme of the show. It should be our tagline. Welcome aboard when people say it's bullshit.
I just love how people are so sure of their own opinions.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Tell us about Charlie Tector.
Anyway, there was a fella, he went to town on Tector, like, he's not good enough. I was like, who's this clown? But anyways, I wonder how far Tector can go. Like,
I've heard that as well.
In your educated opinion.
There's a lad I play rugby with there a few weeks ago went, I don't rate Tector at all. I was like, why? Just don't rate him.
Very, very, loads of people in our office are like, oh, Caoimhín Keller's not going to make it. Just not going to make it.
Yeah, it's just the feeling.
He's just not good enough. And then they're their biggest fans.
And then you question that person, they're like, do you even watch him? Is usually the defence.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tector.
Tector, so he was a 10 coming through the youth ranks and had to kind of switch to 10 or to 12 with all the competition at 10 with Prendergast in the same kind of year group as him or a year ahead of him. But it's interesting with him that he's not playing like a playmaker 12, which is what you would expect a 10, a former 10 to do. He's playing like an actual 12. He's running to the line. He's taking the ball hard to the line, running really direct lines. And that was exactly what we saw at the weekend, was just put the head down, break two tackles. And I think he's a player that probably really benefited from Jordy Barrett's presence in the Leinster camp last season, because before he showed up, I don't think he was really kicking on at 12. But his style of play has changed, and he's a bit more smarter with the ball as well, and he's really kicking on this season. He's getting loads of game time as well with the Henshawn Ringrose injuries, and Frawley obviously playing more 15.
You know where I can see him is like the Max Deegan territory, right? I think it's very harsh to say he's a great B team player, but you know when he plays, when he's named in the starting 15, I'm always like, that's a good selection.
Yeah,
but I also don't know how far he can go. I'm totally undecided about him.
Yeah.
From the admittedly, you know, limited enough bit I've seen of him, I'm totally undecided about whether his level is higher than he currently is.
Well, you need to see him in really big games. That's the thing now. He needs to get selected over lads like Henshaw. That's where we need to see him. Like, Ioane being added to the mix probably hasn't overly helped him, but they've actually created a nice little duo there with the two lads at injured over the last couple of months. But I think, because he has that background as a 10 and he's also taken on this kind of traditional inside centre style of play, he's a really, really big asset to have in your backline. And I would just like to see him get more game time in big games. And I think with Henshaw, you know, he's picking up a lot of injuries these days. He's not getting any younger. Maybe you start to look towards Tector as your starting 12.
I'd say Osborne has a... Well, what about me? Know. I think Tector's only turning 24 in March, and Bundy at 24 versus where he is now 12 years later. Particularly for those positions, there seems to be, unless you're an absolute physical specimen, and we're seeing loads of those in French rugby at the moment, but he's got a bit of time in his hands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be rushing off. Max Deegan needs a move, I think, to like... establish whether or not he's actually Ireland quality. And that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Do you think that should be everyone's prerogative and ambition? Well,
no. Ideally it would be, but everybody's different, right?
Yeah.
Some people have stuff going on in their lives and their world, and it's like they want to be a professional rugby player for a period of time, then afterwards they want to do something else. I'm not saying that's the case with Deegan, but you would want everybody who's coming through the Irish system to want to play for Ireland because there's more money. There's a better career, there's fewer minutes, you get minded better. And so ideally, anybody who's coming through, like, we saw the benefit for Harry Byrne getting out, playing games, coming back. You're seeing with Ross, he wasn't at the standard to make it for Ireland.
Yeah, it hasn't gone very well for him in Gloucester. He might need to move again, to be honest.
And maybe he goes to France and has a great time.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that can happen. That's been done before. On the Jamie Osborne point, I think he actually needs to come back and earn his place again, because the latest we saw of him was at fullback, really. So I don't think he just walks back into a 12 jersey. He obviously, I think Henshaw is still the holder of that jersey in general, but I think Osborne obviously is a very high ceiling, but I think he still needs to prove that he's the 12 going forward, because it's not his fault, but he's played a lot of fullback recently, so... they need to kind of figure out where his position is.
Let me ask you about Kieran Frawley, right? He's your fullback this week. Mm-hmm. If he is the fullback on Thursday week, right, would France target him?
Yeah, they're going to target... Well, the fullback, regardless, is going to be a bit inexperienced, in for lack of a better term, because you either have the two lads, Osborne and Keenan, coming back from injury, or you have probably Stockdale or Frawley, who haven't played a lot of international 15. Frawley's only played the one game at 15 against Wales a couple of years ago. So I don't think he starts against France, Frawley, even though he has played a good bit of time there. I think you just need a bit more pace when you're playing France, because you're going to be pulled left and right with kicks, and with Bielbiri and Adesogbe, the two wingers likely to play, they're just absolute pace merchants. Like, they're just going to run you all day long.
Are any of them fit? Frawley fit?
Well, Frawley was well, he played at the weekend, so at least we have that. He was injured. He had a foot injury before that game, but he came back to play against Connacht and he played quite well. Didn't see any issues with his foot. Didn't look like he was struggling. Sorry,
yes,
so
of course,
yeah. But there is a problem with game time. The only one that has played regular rugby at 15 over the last couple of months is Stockdale. There's really, like, even if you're looking at Munster, Mike Haley's been out. He's not, obviously not in the squad, but there's no one really in Ireland that's been consistently playing at 15. Even Mikey Lowry was out for a period of time, but Ulster came back at the weekend against the Scarlets, literally within 60 seconds gets knocked unconscious and is now obviously out for at least a week or two again. So it seems we're having real issues just keeping lads fit at that position, but Stockdale is that one that's playing and playing well, I would say.
Will we reserve the back three selection?
Yeah, we're spoiling it.
Teasing, as they say in the business.
We'll come back. Yeah, we've all picked the back three, so we'll come back to that a little later to play France.
Okay.
Next week.
Where to?
If there's nowhere else we want to touch on, we touch on a lot. Tony Butler's worth mentioning.
Go ahead, Tony Butler. I'll ask you about Billy Bowen afterwards.
Okay, yeah. So JJ Hanrahan pulled out last minute ahead of the game against Dragons at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I think it was a hamstring injury he cited while practicing, kicking off the tee. So Tony Butler was pulled in to start last minute and ended up playing the full 80. Didn't have the best game in general. There was a couple of mistakes, a couple of drop balls, but it was an absolutely treacherous day down in Cork. So that can be forgiven. But he stepped up and hit the winning kick at the very end. So he gets into the team this week. Kind of a guy who's been struggling for minutes this season. I would be happy to say that he should be Munster's second 10. I don't see the purchase in having JJ Hanrahan as your second 10. I think he's fine if you need cover, but I don't think it benefits Munster in the long run.
They play Hanrahan a lot, don't they?
They do, yeah. I don't really get it, to be honest. I like JJ Hanrahan, he's a good player, but it doesn't benefit Munster or their future to be playing JJ Hanrahan in meaningful minutes and not Tony Butler.
Would you like to see a Coughlin-Butler combination more often?
Yeah, because they're former teammates, but they both played at Ennis under 16s and up. So they obviously have a bit of chemistry there, so it makes absolute sense to have the two of them playing regularly.
I thought Coughlin was caught badly for pace for the second Dragons try. No, I don't know if he was carrying something, because obviously we saw his pace, Croke Park.
Yeah,
I was just a little thing. I was wondering, was it a long-standing thing or just maybe an injury? But overall, I'm kind of impressed. But I'd kind of like to see more of him.
Similar with Butler, I think he grew into that game as well. He made a couple of mistakes here and there, but he had a great 50-22 kick towards the end that really pushed him on. I think that led to a try eventually. So, I like Coughlin, but again,
he's not a Colin, is he?
We would call him Colin.
Colin,
for the
benefit
of the country, I've gone Coughlin.
Where's he from?
He's Clare.
He's Ennis.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
We would call it's Cork would be Colin.
Before we move on from him, he's a bit of trouble coming his way because Ben Murphy's been linked to Munster. Connacht's Ben Murphy, so that adds to the depth chart there.
Give the little guys a chance, like, he's good. Billy Bowen.
Billy Bowen. I genuinely thought he had a really good game. He would have been in, regardless of who he is how far he's come.
You agree with the Ireland selectors?
Yeah, I think so.
Wasn't he playing like Division 2?
You've been keeping an eye on them.
He's playing
Division 2A or something.
LEL 2A, yeah, very recently. So incredible.
It is amazing how quickly you rise in the sport. Isn't it? Like, it's like, you know, JJ Kenny too.
You know that ad that went around, or I think it's still going around, ahead of one of the Six Nations campaigns, that was like, someone got injured in the Ireland camp, so we had to call up someone from Leinster and then had to call someone up from the IAL, and then it goes down all the way to Jay Ford's.
Yeah.
That's almost pretty much what has happened here. Like, Billy Bowen in the Irish squad, and absolutely deserves to be, because he was very good at the weekend against Leinster, scrummaged pretty well. Albeit he was up against Niall Smith, who was debuting for Leinster. And they're both 20, so I kind of thought they're probably in the same kind of rugby group coming up. Delved into it a little bit. Turns out they played each other in a Leinster Schools Junior Cup final back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Bowen was representing Newbridge. And
he's another good Kildare man. Jeez, yeah,
he's
taking over.
He's a Kildare boy, yeah. Yeah. And Niall Smith for Blackrock. Who came out on top that day?
Blackrock always win, don't they?
Newbridge.
Aye.
There you go.
I mean, I've literally no ties to Newbridge.
Now, Niall Smith did go on to win a Senior Cup at Blackrock. So.
JT, a good Newbridge man, of course.
Yeah, there's loads. There's a good piece in it. Osborne's obviously from Kildare as well, the Prendergast.
They're not products of the school's system. They're from Nace Rugby Club.
All right. Jimmy O'Brien's another one as well.
All right.
But yeah, I think Billy Bowen's there on merit. I know there's obviously injuries that have happened to allowed him this opportunity, but I think he's actually a quality player and has a lot of potential going forward.
Okay. All right.
We'll do a quick round of houses here, will we? So we'll go to the Premiership first. Kieran Marmion came off the bench for Bristol at the weekend against Exeter.
Spoke to you and got dropped. Is that what happened?
Well, he actually came off the bench that day as well.
Okay.
Harry Randall was out injured for a long time, so he was starting over him. But he's back, so they've kind of gone back to that kind of, he plays 50 minutes, Marmion gets 30 minutes or so.
Okay.
Which is fine. It's regular time for a top team. So, but that was one of the worst games you'll ever see at the weekend. Finished 3-8 to Bristol. It was awful conditions. Obviously, the case across the board, really, with UK and Ireland games. But they got the win in the end. But it was funny. Exeter actually received a losing bonus point after only scoring 3 points. Funny how that works. Kieran Treadwell.
There should be a rule that you can't get a losing bonus point. No, it's like you break the 10 or 12 point barrier.
He didn't even score a try.
Like, no, sorry, I didn't try.
Kieran Treadwell started for Harlequins in a massive 27-point defeat at home to Leicester. Quins are really struggling this year. They're down to second bottom in the Premiership table, only above Newcastle Red Bulls, who are also struggling. So not going great on his return there for Kieran Treadwell this season. Ross Byrne, also another guy where his decision to move abroad hasn't gone to plan so far. He's been dropped like straight up for Charlie Atkinson. He hasn't played a minute in the last 2 weeks for Gloucester. And now Atkinson fully deserves to be starting 10. He's a real, real special talent. I was kind of surprised he wasn't in some way involved with the England Six Nations setup. He's seriously talented, but Ross Byrne is suffering the consequences of his rise at the minute. So he may be a smart decision to look for a move maybe in the summer for Ross Byrne. Sammy Arnold, Brett Conan and George McGuigan all started for Newcastle. They got hammered by Saracens, 73-14. Noah Calori, you aware of the winger for Saracens, the star boy coming through? Guy jumps really high. That's his kind of trademark, yeah. Scored four.
Cheshko.
Yeah.
He can jump out of a bin.
Yeah. 4 tries at the weekend again. He scored 4 tries twice this season. He's not in the England setup though. If we had a player like that, he's starting. So just shows the depth.
Show us footage of this player before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was excellent in that game. He's
19.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Maybe they're just trying to kind of usher him into the squad eventually, but
what's the residency rule again? Five years now, isn't it? Sign him up. Get him over.
Leinster. Get on the phone. Ross Maloney's actually out for a number of weeks with a bicep injury. He suffered last weekend, or the weekend before last weekend.
Is it fair to say he was flying it?
He was absolutely flying it. He's playing really good rugby this season for a really good team. Probably could do with a few weeks off, to be honest, because he's playing a lot of 80 minutes.
Bit of holiday.
This season, so probably do with the time off.
Very good.
Move on to,
he's not giving us all the Jack Willis news you can give us, what with his Jack Willis qualification for Ireland.
I'm not buying into any of that whatsoever,
as in the likelihood of it.
Yeah, he said before he has no interest in playing for Ireland.
Yeah, but just that doesn't mean he wouldn't like to play for Munster though, you know. Play for Munster and then
while he's there,
slowly work on him.
He's a starter and sometimes a captain for the best team in the world.
More Irish than the Irish themselves.
He's getting paid a load of money to do it as well.
He's made his money now and he wants to, you know, he's going to be the messiah figure.
His brother just moved up back over to France as well. There's no way he's leaving. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Who's the brother gone to?
Bordeaux. He'd been there before as well, so a similar mindset.
Him out of the England setup.
Yeah.
Because he just played a few games recently.
Yeah, he's been involved with England over the last while, but
he played some time in November. That was them obviously making sure that he couldn't come to Ireland as well.
They have a heap of eights though, to be fair, so they won't get a loss too much.
No sevens though.
Yeah.
No, they anyway, the country would go absolutely mental if Jack Willis was
it'd be class. It'd be class.
Would it?
It would be class.
Would it?
Well, you mean mental negatively? One.
Yeah, you can't be taking lads who are like, I've no interest in playing for you. I'm English. I want to play for England. And then it's like, hey, they don't want me anymore. I'm going to play for you.
I think it'd be class.
Yeah, but like,
I don't know. But
Declan Rice, he's always more drawing to
Declan
play
Rice
for you.
Declan Rice, that's been like, I love Manster. You. And then he shagged off. So it's like, I'd rather off the other way.
Toman Hart.
You can fall in love with someone, you know.
Yeah.
But you can tell someone you love them and he didn't really mean it.
What's this Limerick stuff?
You know?
Yeah. You'd think it'd be great.
Well, yeah, he's a great player. And rugby's tiny. Rugby get over itself. Like, look, the tiny pool of players. You can play wherever you want.
Rugby is tiny. And within the laws of the game, of course, it would be totally fine.
Yeah, monogamy is too crude a rule for rugby. Like, you know, everyone goes with everyone. It's all good. He's a good player. People get over it very quickly. Swingers. Like, CJ Stander was massively Irish until he was. She's come back now. You never hear from him again. He's never visiting.
It's not like he went back to South Africa to play for South Africa.
I know, but he went back home, I suppose. You know? But he was on loan to Ireland. He was briefly Irish. And that's fine. And he'll always have a place here. Anyway, I'd rather the Willis situation, potentially, than the Declan Rice one.
Well, Declan Rice is like your jilted lover, left for a much better outcome.
He was a fuckboy. And was like, I love you.
Yeah, he said certain things. Yeah, exactly.
You're scared to say it.
You're
reporting.
You just said it already.
Willis is your rom-com script, like your classic, like very
cynical. He fell in love with the wrong person.
Comes over, it's like, I have no interest in you. Yeah. Then sees the personality of, not necessarily the looks of Irish, but the personality of the Irish side. And be like, you know what? This is chemistry.
And would you make him live in Cork or would you make him live
Cork,
in...
Cork, yeah.
Yeah. Travel up and down every day. Like, I gave up the glory.
There's some great places there.
Toulouse.
In
to
Cork.
For 2 hours travelling up and down.
I'd like that accent inserted into Cork as well. It'd be good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know actually what part of England he's from. West Country.
He played for the Wasps growing up, so...
He could be London, you know what I mean?
Don't actually
know. We've only got left here.
Yeah. He's from Reading.
Yeah. So he'd be in Cork and he'd love it.
Okay. English Championship, really quick.
What? Will you put your headphones on there? I have a voice note to play you.
Oh, right, okay.
The surprise, is it?
Right. It's a surprise.
I had no idea this was happening.
At 9:49, get the voice notes into us. We keep telling you, and then we lose interest because you lose interest. And then we play one, and we get a lot of it. So 0879-180.
Oh, this is an actual voice note from the people. Go away with it.
180. It's from Dermot.
Ah, well.
Morning, OTB. Just want to say, as a casual rugby fan, I really enjoy Dara's Green 15 on a Wednesday on my commute to Kildare every Wednesday. So keep up the good work, Dara.
There you go.
Thanks, Dermot. That's lovely now.
You know, I can
picture a lovely message of a Wednesday.
I can picture that happening with Dermot because I saw him on Friday in traffic and we had a conversation. I was in the footpath. He was in traffic in his Flahevin's van. He could not have a more branded van.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity about what he works as.
That's lovely.
And you eat his product every morning as a result?
I actually do, yeah. DK, pay full price too.
Shout out DK.
Through college. That's class. More of those.
Absolutely, yeah.
We can vet the voice notes, can't vet the comments.
Yeah, yeah.
Precisely. Okay. Quickly.
He's on a high now. He's on a high now. He loves that. Yeah. He's distracted.
Adrenaline's up.
Rattled.
Conor Oliver, Rory Scanlon, and Scott Buckley started for Ealing in a hard fought win away to Chinnor last weekend. Ealing are always the team that absolutely trounce the championship every season, but last couple of weeks they've come close to a loss, which is about as close to a loss as they get, really. They don't tend to lose. Alessandro Heaney played a great game for the Pirates as well, made the team of the week in the championship. Didn't make this team of the week though, unlucky for him, but top 14. What a week for Joshua Brennan.
Yeah, people in the comments yesterday were prompting us to talk about Joshua Brennan.
Yeah, scored a try against Pirates the weekend. He was class, tried that game. Obviously got the call up. Thibaut Flamand pulled out the France squad because of his wife's fertility treatment clashing with the Ireland game. So Joshua Brennan steps up into the France squad in his place.
Never heard that one before.
Yeah.
It's, this is, for me, this is way more disappointing than Declan Rice. Trevor Brennan. I love everything he stood for. Love everything he did in his career.
Yep.
And we were down in the pub doing shows a couple of times.
That's it, isn't it?
And the kids were there and the kids were massive.
Yeah.
And this is 15 years ago. Like, they were, whoa. Yeah. I was like, oh, Leinster need to get in touch. And obviously, there was just, it was never going to happen. The Irish rugby, that's there's a story there that, like, this is a great lost opportunity for us.
Yeah.
And Toulouse benefiting, Toulon benefiting.
I don't think he was ever coming home, right? Because he has that pub in France. It's an Irish pub, is it?
There was one, and now they've moved into an even better one.
So he has the best of both, doesn't he? Like, lovely bit of French culture, but he has a reminder of home every day.
Yeah.
They were never going to be an option, were they?
Josh was always said he
break the bank.
He grew up a France rugby fan. Yeah. Never really felt overly Irish. And it's the same with Danny Brennan as well. He's in Toulon now. And the younger brother again, Bobby Brennan, is Toulouse Espoir, which is their academy. So they're pretty much just intertwined in that now. And that's it.
You're trying to get him to be like a Nicholas Roach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example. But alas,
in fairness, though, he's locked in. I would point out that the Brennans all speak a different cut of English from Nico, who speaks
that's a good point.
English, French English.
Nico's very French.
The lads are true blue, Norkel there. How are you?
How have they managed that?
Listen to their da.
I must play on the show. There's a great interview with Danny Brennan when he was captain of the under 20s, and he kind of just viral. Breaks into a brilliant accent. And it's just like, ah, sure, look, it was great now. but yeah, I think they're French as is.
What accent is that? As Arthur's question, I would have said that's Claire.
Claire,
you've managed to do a Claire accent there. Yeah, that sounds like my aunts and uncles.
All right, I'll take that. Shout out Tony Butler.
Will we just skip forward to the top three, or do you want to?
Well, we can skip. There's not too much with the managers. So Gar's appeal has been, his ban has been appealed by the FFR. They want to make it longer. He had a 2-week ban a couple of months ago and they want to extend it. So we'll keep an eye on that. Not too much else there. Mark McCall, obviously, has stepped down as director of rugby at Saracens. He'll stay with the club in general, though, as a technical advisor.
They have a new guy in.
Venter, yeah. Venter's come back.
We all know Venter from many things, of course.
Yes.
That love Venter. Viral interview.
He's brilliant.
Sorry, Bobo.
We'll do quickly then. We'll be the back three. We've 6 minutes. We're okay. Who wants to start? We've all done a back three.
Yeah, you gave me some homework to do there, did you?
So well, you know, there's like a obvious, not so obvious, random.
I thought about it. I really did look at the squad, right? So I thought, actually, what do I really, away from all the bullshit, now what do I actually want against France, right?
What do I actually want?
Yeah, so I want, it's like, no plan. I actually want to win this game, right? So I have gone for, I've actually gone for very experienced.
Yeah.
I've gone my fullback. Oh, there it is, yeah. Hugo. I'm gonna rely on his physiology and biology, that he's a naturally fit guy. So he's a big game player. He's riding high and winning the Lions and all that. Long time ago, of course, but for him it was his last rugby?
Yeah. Lions, yeah.
Hugo's Broncos are the best in the world.
Perfect. He has that mentality.
I think someone broke it actually there last season. Someone got the best of him in the Bronco.
Irish?
No.
World?
New Zealand. I think it was Cam Roygaard. Oh, pretty sure. He's number one now.
Yeah,
thankfully, Cam will be the other side of the world watching this. So, he could bring that with him. So, I'm going to stick with Hugo at fullback. I was very, very tempted to change this up completely. But then I've gone for James Lowe on the left and Tommy O'Brien on the right. Now, Tommy O'Brien was an absolute shoo-in, right? I had Tommy in all day. I was like, great form.
If he's fit,
I was very, but it wouldn't really work with Balakoon throwing him over. I don't think.
On the left wing?
Nah.
I
obviously, I love Balakoon. I talk about Balakoon,
you're a big fan.
I like Balakoon, so I nearly put him on the bench. Now, it's a very specific player to put on the bench if you're playing 5-3.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And 5-3 is open. Stockdale, I was going to reward his form. So there's a world where I was going to go Frawley, Stockdale, and Balakoon. But I said, I'll go what I actually think could win the game.
You've gone complete opposite to that, yeah.
If James Lowe needs to perform, seriously needs to perform, right? There's a bit of pressure on him there. Keenan's back and wants to prove that he's still the best fullback around in his mind, or for the minds of many others, and you have to leave Tommy O'Brien where he is. So that's my logic.
there's a good chance that they've named Hugo Keenan in the squad knowing that he's not fit for this game. We don't know that yet, right?
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, they haven't told us.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Do you know, and like that, we will know nothing until... Yeah.
But as we're sitting here today...
And they're very uptight about that kind of information, unless they want France to know that actually he is fit and he's going to play.
Okay.
So who's next?
Sure. What are we picking?
Yeah, there's yours.
Well, I had exactly the same. Then I was like, no, I just want to see Stockdale in and put that pressure on low and say that there's a proper competition between now and the end of the World Cup selection.
Would James Lowe be on the bench?
No.
No, I don't think you can put a... he has to play more positions if he's on the bench.
Now, the only thing is, if they decide that he is fit and best and experienced, Stockdale then becomes your person who moves around and can do other stuff. And then the other thing is, if Keenan's not fit, your fullback is going to be somebody who actually can play loads of positions. So that opens up.
Yeah, true, yeah.
They like Bundy on the bench. There's no way Bundy and Lowe are making the bench. So
yeah. Bundy, I suppose, is on the bench because 12 is so a pretty specific position, but everyone can shift across.
Well, you have a McCluskey 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
McCluskey could go off injured, like. So then...
Well, anyone could go off injured.
Yeah, I know, obviously, of course. But in fairness, like, Big Stu... sometimes goes down. Big
free time. Porridge all round, lads, says Dermot Keenan.
What's your back three, Dar?
My back three. Teach Colin how to cook it. Sorry, Dermot.
Jacob Stockdale, the only fullback playing fullback right now, really outside of Kieran Frawley.
Sorry, can I just say, there was a bang of AI off these photographs that you put up for listeners, right? And they're actually not, they're all real, except you've somehow managed to make Jacob Stockdale a giant.
Listen, there's no recent player portraits of Jacob Stockdale.
Ulster bias here is like, look at this giant. How could you not pick him at 15? Tommy Ryan at 14, James Lowe at 11, and Jacob Stockdale coming down at 15.
Yeah.
Does he have a blade zero or not at the moment?
Yeah, he's bald at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. So that photo is...
No, that's an old photo. That's that's the most recent I could find. Let's not dwell on that too much now.
When's that from? He could be smaller now. Or he could be bigger.
Let's not dwell on that too much.
He could be bigger.
Stockdale.
A discreet veil.
Playing regular minutes of 15.
Yeah.
I thought kind of... I'd like to see him on the left wing, same as you, Jared. But then I felt like you need someone in there that's played a lot of recent big games for Ireland, so that's why I put him at fullback and James Lowe at left wing. Then Tommy O'Brien at right wing, I think, is a no-brainer as long as he's fit.
Can't argue with that. Yeah. Is Hugo on your bench?
Ooh. Actually, because he's played wing for Ireland before, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to do. Probably not. I think if you're going to rest him, you rest him.
Mm. But, or if he's fit to play, he's fit to play.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean, yeah.
Oh yeah, there's no bench, you mean?
There's
one
no
one or t'other.
You play him if he's able, yeah.
Final minute of the show?
No, I probably don't. I probably rest him. If he's not 100% fit, you wait till next week. But yeah.
We'll go all in on next week's episode, will we?
Yeah.
Proper, it's the day of.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
No, it's the day before. Day before.
When's with no one on team, is out.
So team might be out that day at 12, maybe.
Okay, hopefully so we get last minute shouts, clip it immediately.
Yeah, get it out.
Immediately. Yeah.